of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope you guys are having a blessed day today. The weather out here looks like it's probably going to rain again down here in Florida, which is nice because it'll actually cool it down some. Dad is having some more connection issues up there in Montana. Montana's not known for their best cell reception or internet reception, but they do have some of the most beautiful country in the world, so it makes up for it. So I hope you guys are ready. We got a lot of good, interesting articles today to go over. The first one that
I'm
I
here
want
with you,
to go
buddy.
Over. Oh, you're on today? Okay.
Yep.
And
yeah, Kevin,
the first one that I wanted.
Okay?
Yeah, I can hear you.
Okay, great.
The first article I wanted to touch base on, this was a couple days ago, but I've been looking into it, and I wanted to kind of address it just for the simple idea of making sure you guys, family members, friends, kids, are very aware of what happens with a lot of this online dating stuff. This happened in Auburndale, about a mile and a half down the road from the office. Just, I mean, right down the office in our little Auburndale town. A Auburndale man basically met this girl. He was 27. She was 18 on a site called, I think, Plenty of Fish. It's an online dating site. I don't know much about it, but I know they met up. He basically, they went on a date. They were at his house. He took her back to her house, dropped her off. Then herself and three other black individuals came back to his house the next night, broke in, robbed him, and shot him six times in the chest in the kitchen and basically let him bleed out on the floor. All the individuals have now been arrested on first-degree murder, conspiracy to commit murder. And it's clearly quite sad because apparently a lot of people, I did not know this kid that got shot. His name was Adam Hillary. He apparently was a pretty decent kid, wasn't involved in really anything. A lot of people knew him over here. I did not know him, though. And he just met up with this girl off this online dating thing. And one of the big key factors that I got to tell you guys, you know, if you do get involved in this, make sure you know who you're going out with online. Make sure you go, obviously, to a neutral place. Never bring somebody to your home that you're meeting from an online dating site, your kids, your family, anybody. Make sure they understand this. Take them out for a cup of coffee. Take them out to go get dinner somewhere if you want. That's cool. That's fine. But be very careful because you don't know what type of people you're getting involved in. For this guy, this was pretty sad because he lost his life over it and really didn't do anything wrong. So you have to be very cognizant of what's going on. This is why I always tell you guys about situational awareness. You need to know what somebody's intentions are before you start showing them your residence and what type of things you have in his house. And I guess apparently he got a lot of electronics, a lot of high-end TV and stereo stuff, and all of that looks like it was stolen. So, yeah, it's really sad for his family and everybody involved in it, but this stuff happens sometimes. So just a heads up, your family, your friends, let them know that if they are going on online dating stuff, be very, very, very acute of what's going on and who you're actually meeting up with and hanging out with. I don't know if you want to add anything else to that, Deb.
Well, I'm sorry that happened in our hometown. I'm out in Montana still, so I had no idea this had happened, but I know years ago I was trying to buy a motorcycle from a guy. You remember this, Austin? I think it was the Hayabusa. And the guy was real sketchy on the telephone, told me he worked for the CIA, all kinds of weird stuff. I mean, the guy was just like a nutbag. And he wanted me to meet him in a parking lot, you know, with like $5,000-$6,000 in cash, you know, in Tampa. And I told him, it was a good price on the bike. And I thought, well, this doesn't make any sense. So I told him, I said, well, here's what I'm going to do. He said, we're not going to meet in the parking lot. We're going to meet at the SunTrust Bank. I'm not bringing any cash with me. You're bringing the motorcycle and a clear title. You can drive it around the parking lot so I know that a shift's okay. He said, we're going to go inside, and I'm going to go ahead and cash the check at the SunTrust because that's where I bank, and we're going to get do the cash and the paperwork and the title work inside of the bank where I will not have, you know, you will not have access to me in an open parking lot. And he immediately canceled the deal, told me he didn't want to do that, and he's acting all shady. So guys, you got to use some common sense. We had another friend of ours 2 years ago contacted me after he'd already done it, and somebody sent him a $10,000 cashier's check for a four-wheeler. He went ahead and deposited the $10,000 in his bank account, and again, it was $5,000 too much. It was supposed to be a $5,000 check, because they sent him a $10,000 cashier's check. So he went ahead, being a nice guy, not real smart, decided to mail him back the $5,000, which he did. His $5,000 check cleared. The $10,000 check bounced, and so he ended up being out $5,000, and they never got the money back. These are common scams that are done on a regular basis, including the dating services. What I recommend that you do, if you're going to be doing online dating, you find out who the person is and just meet them at a neutral location. Even if you've got to drive, you know, a rental car to that location, it doesn't make any difference. The first time you meet them, so they can't get a tag number, meet them, find out what their name is. Hopefully you can get a driver's license from them, so you make sure they give you the real name, and then do a background check on them. You know, pay somebody $40-$50, you know, go online and pull a $50 background check on that person just to make sure they're not some nutbag, some convicted felon, somebody out on parole. Just find out who you're meeting with. Not even to mention the fact of what kind of diseases they may have. And, of course, I would never recommend going out with somebody on a first date and kissing them or having sex with them as a Christian. That's something you wouldn't do anyhow. But even kissing them nowadays, because of the herpes and all the other problems that people can transmit being kissing, it's just not something that you should be doing. And so, guys, use a little bit of wisdom on all of this. I feel sorry for the guy and his family. May he rest in peace. Get shot 6 times in the chest. I mean, this is bad. That tells you really where the shape of the economy really is when you have little towns like we live in that are having this type of major crime that are going on. So it's actually pretty awful. So I don't know, Austin. It really, really saddens me that this has happened. But out in California, let's jump out there. Hundreds of California students say maybe sit home again on their first day of school because of the new vaccine law that took effect this year. The new state law took effect July the 1st. Now parents can no longer use personal or religious beliefs as a reason not to have their children immunized. This school year, kindergartners and seventh graders must show full proof of all immunizations. Young children who now have full shot records and who have personal belief exemptions will not be allowed to go to school even with religious exemption. It's sad, really, really is, that this law, they must be, even if they're grandfathered in, because of January 4th, 2016, it doesn't make any difference. According to the new law, they still must get immunized when they reach seventh grade. This is really a sad state of affairs that we have this type of medical tyranny. And I'm using that word, those words very, very carefully. I'm using them very precise. This is medical tyranny. This is concentration camp tyranny. That's what this is. I'm going to force you, before you put your children in school, to immunize these kids, subject them to who knows what type of poison, before you're allowed to use state funds that you're paying in your property taxes to send your children to school. I think this is egregious, Austin. It should never have happened in California. And again, I'm going to say this again. California used to be the state that used to lead with liberal ideology. Now, I'm not talking about liberals like communism, like Hillary Clinton liberals. I'm talking about the free thought, you know, free religious beliefs, organic food, health food stores, all of this stuff. They were not thinking the mainstream thought patterns out there 30 or 40 years ago, and now they've turned into this complete communist state, which is basically run as a dictatorship, and it's really sad to me, and I've got a feeling that a lot of people, Austin, are going to be moving out of California if they haven't already left because of stuff like this. What do you think?
Oh, you're absolutely right. I went over that a little bit last week on one of the shows that I had to run by myself, and the truth is, excuse me, the truth is that there's only so much that a large percentage of the population is going to take in California. And right now, with California having the issue of their taxes that they can't even cover, their water drought that's already causing people to leave, all the other issues they're seeing with the massive crime influx in the south part of California, these are all very, very significant factors that are already causing a mass exodus in California that nobody's wanting to talk about. I've talked to numerous people that are out there out west, and they're all saying that people all over the place are leaving. There was even an article a couple months ago that was talking about how significant the drought was, that the U-Haul companies, the rental truck companies for moving, were putting massive prices on everything coming from California because of the massive exodus to get the vehicles back out there. I say, for example, if I needed to rent a U-Haul trailer for California, or it's from Florida to California because I was moving there. It was a one-way, basically, rental, and I was going to put X amount of miles from Florida to California. It was like $800 to rent a trailer. To rent the exact same trailer to go from California to Florida at the exact same date, it was like $3,000. And what's happening is people are leaving California in droves now because of what's going on. So it's really, really, really ignorant that they even passed a bill this tyrannical in California, considering the fact they're having a hard time even keeping people there in general. It makes no sense to me from an economic standpoint why you would do something like this so egregious, because this law benefited nothing with school children. It did nothing to prevent an infections, diseases, vaccines. Nothing even helps with that, because what's happened is the people that don't want to be there are just going to go to a different place with a different school that allows their children not to be immunized and have a religious waiver, which they should. So the whole concept of what they implemented out there is really just completely ludicrous. And it's, like you said, it's causing people to move out of California in ways. And it's very sad, though, because California, like you said, used to be an incredibly, just a beautiful state out there. The people were awesome. The ideas were awesome. The freedom was awesome. And it was like it completely did a 180 when they got those unbelievably democratic liberals in leadership out there. And they've completely and fundamentally changed the entire idea and aspect of California and this police state. And it's really sad they've done that in that beautiful state out there.
Well, it's turned into a communist state. What it is?
It is.
I mean, it's like the fifth or sixth largest economy in the world. I mean, everybody's moving out. I mean, that's the problem. And almost everybody moved to Colorado. Now Colorado, you got the same filthy ideals that they had out in Colorado, in California one time. It's the same thing up here in Montana. You got this up here. You have the major university town is Missoula, and all the liberal professors are there. And I mean, it's like the liberal town in Montana. The problem is it has such a high population density, it can outvote so many of the other smaller areas, and that's why they have the liberal senators and congressmen out here in Montana, because of this one town of Missoula, which is sad, because you start getting the people that are really the salt of the earth, you know, the conservatives, that they simply don't bother to vote any longer, which is sad. Another article here on science and technology says your smart power outlets are now botnets, thanks to the Internet of Broken Things. This is crazy. This is off of Tech Dirt. Thermostats that fail to heat your home, door locks that don't protect you, refrigerators that leak Gmail credentials, children's toys that listen to your kids prattle and then secure the information from your children in the cloud, cars that could potentially result in your death, which is true, that they can actually turn the wheels, turn the steering wheel, hit the brakes on cars. This list goes on, and it grows exponentially by the week. The latest gift to the Internet of Things industry, revealed last week by security researchers at Bittenfender, is a smart electrical socket that can be hacked to hand over email credentials in your house, create a botnet, or potentially burn your house down by firing up connected appliances. I mean, they can turn your stove on and burn the houses down. The devices are sold as an amazing new tool to help create a connected home, allowing users to manage any device plugged into them, the smartphone, or into the Internet. The problem, as usual, is an unspecified company that treated security as an afterthought, and while security is a part of the big part of the problem, equal troubling is the rise of smart products that stop working once the company manufactures gets bored or sold. Like, you know, connected light bulbs that no longer really connect to much of anything. Now, here's the crazy thing about lights. I bought a whole bunch of LED lights because they were supposed to last for eons of time. Almost all of my LEDs that I bought burn out after like 4 to 6 months, and they're super expensive. And then, of course, when you go back to return them to Sam's or to Walmart or wherever you bought them from, they don't longer carry that brand, and so you can't even swap them out for an identical product. You know, the problem with all of this technology is it's unnecessary. We used to joke about it, Austin. It's needlessly complex. And that's what we've turned our entire lives into in the United States and in all the industrialized countries with the smartphones, the smartphone technology. It's all become needlessly complex. It's put us in an entire bath, a sea of Wi-Fi radiation, of microwave energy that's unbelievably dangerous. And sad part about it is, guys, it's not getting any better. It's getting worse. I'm going to say this again. Don't hold your iPad on your lap. Don't hold your cell phone next to your head. I'm on a speakerphone right now. And whatever you do, guys, unplug the Wi-Fi routers in your house at night when you go to bed. Because the pineal gland, which releases melatonin, it sees this energy, this microwave energy as light. And it goes right through your skull, so it thinks it's bright light in the room, and it won't secrete sufficient quantities of melatonin to let you sleep well at night. It interrupts your sleep patterns, makes you tired all of the time. Turn off the Wi-Fi routers. Get the minimum amount of Wi-Fi radiation in your house when you're sleeping. Really, really important. What do you think, Oz?
That's absolutely very important. I do that every single night as far as with the Internet Wi-Fi routers. I mean, that's one of the best things you can do to really decrease a lot of that in the house. And this is an article now that was so – I actually hysterically started laughing today when I read it, and I have to read it to you guys. It's just – it's so over the top. It's so funny. But I know our listeners are going to get a really really good kick out of it, except the fact that it's true. That's the worst part about this article. West Virginia University, which has almost 30,000 students now, is coming out now and stating that you are breaking federal law if you do not agree to use pronouns preferred by each person who claims to be transgender. The policy now stating if you're a biological man or basically a man or a woman is what it goes into on here, and they identify as a different gender, and the student must refer to them as the gender they refer. West Virginia University says using the wrong pronouns now is a crime because the United States Department of Justice and Education insists now that transgender people are protected by decade-old Sexual Discrimination Act. The new claim is imposed in a university statement that defines the rights of the relatively few students who are confused about their gender. Because it is a list of rights, it also doubles as a list of diversity commandments for all normal students. And it goes into detail here. I don't even have to read all of them to you because they're just ridiculous. But I wanted to go over the bottom thing here on the extra guide that comes with it now. A recommended way of introducing oneself to another individual at West Virginia University is, and I quote, "My name is Tony, and my pronouns are he and him. What about you?" It goes on to say, try making pronouns an optional part of introductions or check-ins at meetings or in class, they urge. Remember that people may change their pronouns without changing their name, appearance, or gender identity. In case of a false pass, a fellow student or professor using the wrong pronoun, WVU suggests dealing with the error in this way. And I quote, try, her books are, oh, I'm sorry, blank, books are over here. By correcting yourself, you're modeling respectful pronoun use for others in the conversation. If you realize the mistake later, a brief apology will help. And I quote, I'm sorry I used the blank wrong pronoun earlier. I will be more careful next time when I talk to you. I don't know if people are really supposed to take this seriously. Apparently, West Virginia University has gone completely queer, and they're unbelievably just, they've lost their minds. I don't even know what to say. This is a university. This is where you go to learn higher education, where you get your bachelor's degree, where you get your law degree, where you get your master's, your doctorate. And they're telling people now that it is a crime, and it's possible that you will be disciplined, suspended, or even expelled if you use any type of discriminatory words, phrases, or pronouns towards somebody that is transgender. This is so laughable, I couldn't even stop laughing when I read it today. But the sad part is, like I said, this is true, and they're actually being serious about this. I don't even know how much further we can go into insanity at these schools. Like you said, everybody's just to the point now where they want to run to their safe space and go suck their thumb as soon as they hear something that they don't agree with. It's an absolute joke, and I'm appalled that West Virginia University would even release something this embarrassing about themselves, but apparently they're that serious about being gay and transgender.
I'm kind of sitting here befuddled. I don't even know what to say. I mean, I have to assume this is some type of parody. I can't even, if this is true and they're really saying this and being sincere about it, then you're right. They must be completely queer. I mean, that's all you can say. I mean, the gay transgender group has completely taken over the university. I mean, this doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, here's the problem with all of this, okay? When I was in college, you know, I mean, gosh, back in the dark ages, back 40 years ago, you know, 42 years ago, I mean, you could walk up to a girl, and here's how I always looked at it. It didn't matter how pretty she was. You didn't know if she was dating anybody unless you talked to her. And, I mean, I would just always, you know, walk up to the good-looking girls that I could find and talk to them and just be nice to them and just be courteous to them and let them know that I was an alpha male and that, you know, I was a guy, that, you know, I was a real guy, you know, and I believed in guns and everything else. And if they didn't like it, then I would just walk away. That's all it would be. And, you know, if they wouldn't give you your telephone number, you'd say, okay, great, have a great day, I've got to go. That'd be the end of it. Nowadays, apparently, if you call her a her, if you say, if you refer to a she or her or whatever, they'll expel you. So I guess it's better to call her an it. Well, I want to know what it is going to do today. Are you going to be, what are you? Are you an it or what are you? I mean, this is so stupid. It changes the entire English language to incorrect grammar. It's just a stupid, all the stuff that we were taught as kids as proper grammar now is being told you can't do it anymore for fear of offending some bisexual or some transgender or some queer or some lesbian for some nutbag. I mean, are you kidding me? Look, I guarantee you, the transgenders, who are the true transgenders, who are just to themselves in their own little group, they don't want any of this going on because it brings too much focus and too many floodlights on their group and their message. In fact, I've read articles that have been written by transgenders about this whole bathroom thing, and they're angry that Obama did this because it says it creates so much animosity towards them that they don't want to be involved in any of this nonsense. Guys, listen to me. The gay community has been with us since Sodom and Gomorrah. It's not going to go away. It's just part of the deal, right? It's just something. I don't care how much bestial A they pump into us, which creates more gays. I don't care how much, you know, organic estrogen they pump into cattle and we eat it. It creates more gays. It does do that. It makes very, very feminized guys. You know, all of these different factors, sociological factors, physiological factors, all of this stuff increases the gay population. I got that, okay? I'm not even trying to say that that's not, these people aren't really gay. I got that, okay? The point is, they don't have to be catered to. Just like right-wing Republicans don't have to be catered to. Left-wing Democrats don't have to be catered to. Everybody should just have freedom in this country to do what they want to do, but don't ask us to cater to you or to your beliefs. It doesn't matter. It's because of political correctness that all of this junk has started. You can't say this. You can't call her a boy. You can't call him a girl. You can't have to call it an it. Are you kidding me? This is the stupidest thing I've ever heard, and the problem is it's not going to get any better. They don't want alpha male. And I talked about this a few months ago. Last year on The Voice, I think it's The Voice, yeah. Yes, it was The Voice. They had a guy, they called him Elvis. And he was this macho kid, football player, about 16, 17 years old, super good looking, super talented, unbelievable. They called him like, you know, the other Elvis. And he should have won The Voice. He should have won the whole program. He was that good of an entertainer. He wasn't even placed in the top three or four at the end. And why? They don't want that. They want the Justin Timberlake. You can't tell if he's a boy or a girl. They want the Michael Jackson. You can't tell if he's a boy or a girl. They want these weirdos who they can promote as either being gay or bi or trans or whatever they are in the fray of things so they can continue to promote their agenda. Remember the big breakout hit that Katy Perry had years ago? It was like Kissed a Girl or something like that. And she left her religious roots at that point and promoted lesbian behavior, and the globalists jumped all over because she's so pretty and she was so innocent, and they basically turned her into this complete and total tramp that she is now. This is what they want. They don't want Perry Como's. They don't want Frank Sinatra's. They don't want Elvis Presley. They don't want Tom Jones anymore. They don't want Bing Crosby. I mean, they don't want any of that anymore. They want everybody to be a unisex, because that way they can control the population better, because they can prevent people from breeding when they're basically not going to have children. It'll lower the population. This is what they've already done in a lot of areas in Europe. They're doing it now in the United States. And all of these guys need to go directly to hell. They don't need to pass go. They don't need to collect $200. They don't need to print any more fiat money. They just need to go to hell and be done with these people. And that's what they need to do. Either repent and get right with Jesus Christ, or go straight to hell and get off our planet and leave us alone. We don't want their perversion or their nonsense any longer, and we've all had enough of it. The guys, listen to me for a second, please. Just say no. I'm not doing this. I'm not going to be involved in this. And see the backlash. I mean, Wayne Allyn Root just wrote a book, Angry White Man. Angry White Man, because he's tired of having to apologize or people wanting him to apologize for being white. I mean, excellent book. You guys need to all get a copy of it. I mean, the thing about it is this. I mean, we got a black president. You know, we've got all these cabinet people and all these people in the administration who are black or Hispanic. We no longer have this massive racism that Obama's trying to foment along with the globalists all over the United States. They're just trying to make it that way still. They get more and more and more rights taken away from people that are the actual people who work and who produce. And that's what's going on all over the planet right now as these globalists continue to march on through complete and total Sodom and Gomorrah again. As it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be upon my return, is what our Lord Jesus Christ said. And in the days of Noah, it says in Genesis chapter 6, all the thoughts of all the men were evil all the time. And if you think God Almighty is going to deal with this for much longer, and this slippery slope of this rabid homosexual transgender agenda that this gay Kenyan has put forth in the White House because his puppet masters, the Rothschilds, the Bilderberger Group, and the Council on Foreign Relations, and the doggone Bohemian Grove guys, and the Skull and Bones boys have told him to do. Guys,
this all about the Luciferian agenda. Nothing else explains it. And without understanding what happened in Genesis chapter 6, none of this makes any sense to a white heterosexual male or a white heterosexual, you know, woman who's basically had enough of all of this nonsense with all these special interest groups. And that's my rant. And doggone it all, I've had enough of this because I've had it with being politically correct. I'm getting less and less politically correct every time I do a show because I'm nauseous of it, son. We've got to stop this. This is why Donald Trump has such a huge following, because there's more of us than there are of them. We all had enough of following the drum steps, the drum beat of this waxed out group of people that are like Soros and the Rothschilds and all these other Luciferians, these Sabbateans that are trying to run the world and put us into this Satan New World Order. That's my rant for today. What do you think, Ross?
No, the biggest thing that a lot of these college students have to start learning, especially if they can, if it's possible to actually push this, is they have to start going against this. Because as you said, if they continue to capitulate and allow this to get further and further and further, I mean, it's going to get so bizarre. Like, I mean, they're going to be able to say, well, you sneezed in somebody's vicinity and they were offended. We have to go ahead and expel you now. That's literally the extent of where this is going as far as this political correctness. So people have to understand that you can't be politically correct. And I'm not saying be rude. I'm not saying be disrespectful. I'm saying you use proper American vocabulary. You use terms and phrases that are in the Webster Dictionary that were designed to be used in the English language. You don't have to sit there and be worried about offending somebody because of this or that. If they choose to live that lifestyle, that's their right. If you choose your lifestyle, that's your right. But nobody can sit there and say, you can't say this and you can't say that because it's offensive to somebody else. That completely goes against the Second Amendment right, or excuse me, the First Amendment right. So that people have to understand they can't put up with this in college. People have to start going against this and not capitulating with it and just letting it go by and saying, okay, I'll use these terms now. I'll be a good boy. I'll do this. I'll do that. They have to. People have to start standing up for what they believe, or else this is going to get significantly worse in the school system. Another article here I wanted to touch on, because this is funny also. It shows you the level of hypocrisy that never ends with the Clintons. Since launching her bid for presidency, Clinton has been a vocal critic of for-profit schools. She's pledged in speeches all over the country to crack down on predatory schools and help with student debt. So, quite frankly, I mean, that is one aspect she's brought up that I can't argue on her at all. These for-profit schools and these student loan debts are out of control. But the next story is funny because she goes on and says all this stuff completely eviscerates Trump because he had that Trump University. For-profit schools are horrible. They're an absolute nightmare to the economy. They're increasing student debt. And then all of a sudden, this gets released that for the last 5 years now, Bill Clinton has earned over $17.6 million from the world's largest for-profit education company, Laureate Education, in his role as honorary chancellor, which he's gone around at certain speaking events and exalted the virtues of the school. Laureate's flagship school, Walden University, in 2015 had compiled the second highest debt load of any school in the United States. And according to his tax records released by the Clinton campaign, the Clintons earned a total of $22 million from for-profit education companies over the last 5 years. Laureate's paycheck making the bulk of that at $17.6 million. He quit his role as honorary chancellor 12 days before Hillary Clinton announced she would run for president. Is that funny? Is that just funny? I laughed as well when I read that article, that she's so stinking hypocritical. She can't even get her words to line up with her actions at all. And she sits there and just completely puts down these for-profit colleges and student debt, yet they've made in over $20 million in the last 5 years from for-profit schools with her husband. I don't even know what to say about that, but I mean, every time I turn around, I think I can't get more surprised about stuff. She does it every time.
Well, but let me say two things real quick. Number one, they control the students' speech by student loans. Because if a student signed up for a semester and they're borrowing all this money through student loans to go to this university, they get to tell them what to say and what not to say because they'll just deny them student loans. Okay?
Yeah.
Again, it's the Rothschild boys maintaining control via money, too, with Clinton.
The Clinton Foundation had literally brought in billions of dollars, billions. $20 million is like 2% of a billion, right? It's nothing. And so if you're bringing in billions of dollars and you have a quarter of a percent or whatever of your money that's been generated and you started the foundation off of this thing that Bill Clinton's doing, she probably didn't even know he was doing it. These guys don't even live together. Remember, she's a lesbian. You got to remember that. He's just a whoremonger is all he is. He slept with thousands of women, right? Raped a bunch of them. So you got this rapist in the White who was in the White House, and you got the lesbian in the White House, and basically she likes girls and had this one. She's got this one lover that she's had for years now, and so they don't even talk to each other. I'm telling you guys the truth. They probably see each other on events on the campaign trail. I guarantee you they don't live together. She probably had no idea that he had brought all of this money into the foundation because it's insignificant. According to the billions that were brought in, it's insignificant. It's like if you got $1,000 and you throw out $20, that's all it is, or $2 depending on the amount of revenue they generated. It's insignificant. So chances are she didn't know that he was even doing this, just like no, she doesn't know who he's even trying to sleep with this week. But the way he looks now is like he's dying of AIDS. He's probably not sleeping with anybody anymore. Again, it's a complete and total life, both of them, given over to sin, debauchery, perversion, and just excess in all of the horrible areas of their lives. And that's why they are like they are. That's why Austin, in her defense, which I never thought I'd give her this, she probably didn't even know that $20 million came in. But I guarantee you, I know somebody who's going to remind her of that, and that will be Donald Trump on the platform in the debate. He will remind her of that. Okay, so I don't even think she'll bring up Trump University at all during the debate if she's got the sense that God gave a jackrabbit. Because that's too big of a... She's teed it up for him. She's tossing one over the net. I mean, it's a joke. That is such a slam dunk coming back on her, because then he gets hit her with a, you didn't even know what your own foundation is doing and what your low-life, pedophile, predatory husband is doing. I mean, really? You know, I mean, so they got to be real careful. That's why they say they don't know how to prep her. They don't know how to prep her for the debate because they don't have any idea. Now here's another article. Germany is getting so bad that they're actually putting temporary tattoos in Arabic now on girls in the swimming pool, so that say no in Arabic, so that they don't get fondled or raped. So they're wearing temporary tattoos now. You know, you think we make this stuff up, but we really don't. The small press-on designs also sport angel-like wings and are part of a new prevention campaign launched in the Bodensee district in the state of Baden-Württemberg. Okay. The women's representative, founder of Senate District, is behind the launch, and they said the press-on tattoos, written in Arabic, telling them basically no rape here, don't touch me, would help raise awareness over the growing issue of sexual attacks in swimming pools. I mean, I don't even know what to say that you've got to put temporary tattoos on your daughter or on your wife if they're in a public pool so they don't get fondled or groped or raped or molested, or have to swim by other guys' body fluids that are doing upsetting things in the pool. I mean, what a bunch of mess that's happened in Germany. What a whack bag Angela Merkel has turned into. That anything, I hope and I pray that they have legitimate elections, and I hope she either doesn't run again or she is defeated in a landslide, and Germany stops this insane immigration of these nuts that like to fondle little girls in swimming pools, Austin. So if I send my daughters to a public pool, I've got to put temporary tattoos on them saying, no, don't rape me in Arabic, don't touch me in Arabic, don't fondle me in Arabic, I don't want to have sex with you in Arabic, go away in Arabic. Are you joking me? You're assuming these nutbags can even read that are in the pools with you. That's the problem. I mean, these are things that you shouldn't have to tell people not to do. The other day I was up here at a restaurant. I was at a restaurant here up in Montana. And the girl is from Chicago, right? And the waitress, and she just lets loose with a whole slew of pornography. Not pornography, profanity. Pornography and profanity go together. There's the whole thing of profanity. And she drops an F-bomb on us, an F-bomb, F, like, you know, the F-word, right? Right during, she's going to be taking the bill from us. Like, it's okay. Here we are buying food from the restaurant, a real nice restaurant, and she's just talking like she's a sailor on leave who's drunk. And I'm like, I talked to the manager and I said, this is so weird with you. She's like 21 years old. I said, what's wrong with the people today? Why would you even have to tell them not to use filthy language around the customers who are buying food?
And he goes, I don't know what to tell you. He goes, we try our best to train these people, but some of these people, they just talk like this. And I said, well, she'd be talking like this in another restaurant if it was my restaurant. And I said, but sadly, they don't know any better, Austin. They can't use a pronoun, right? They can't say he or she, but they can use the F word liberally, and that's supposed to be okay, and we're all supposed to accept that. This thing is so turned upside down. That's what the Bible says, that what's going to be wrong is going to be right. What's going to be right is going to be wrong. It's all going to be flipped upside down by these Sabbateans that started in the 16th century with Sabbatean Levy. They started all of this mess, and they want to turn everything that God created upside down, and that's what they're doing. But who in the world thinks? I'm 60 years old, and I've never had a server use filthy language while they're waiting on the table bringing us food. I mean, what kind of representation is that, Austin? Austin, you've waited on tables before. What would they have done if they found out you were doing something crazy like that?
Yeah, I mean, I can't imagine that either. I can't imagine that either. It's definitely something that I've never experienced myself. I mean, it would be one thing, I guess, if you were at a bar or something like that. But, I mean, even that is still kind of obscene to act like that when you're in a, you know, respectable position doing something. But quite frankly, I mean, you're saying that. I was just trying to kind of figure out. I'm like, I can't imagine ever keeping a job down here, at least in Florida, any of the places that I've worked with in college or anybody I know. If you use that type of language at a table with somebody, I mean, what you just said, mate. I mean, really, I mean, it's it doesn't make any sense. We can sit there and legally just use every single filthy word, you know, every single curse word, God's name in vain, and you have to be okay with it. It can't offend you because it's my First Amendment right. Okay, but if I say, hey, ma'am, can you come over here real quick? And you look at me and go, I'm not a ma'am, I'm a he. I'm filing a complaint against you and getting you expelled from school. Really? Like, that's okay? Where, like you said, where is this going? Everything is getting so just convoluted. Nobody even knows what's right and wrong anymore because they're blurring the lines so quickly. You can't even really understand what's happening because it's going that way so fast. It really is.
Well, no. What's happened is, see, we've left the Word of God. You know,
yeah.
The Ten Commandments were not the 10th suggestion. You know, thou shalt not kill, that's pretty clear, okay? You don't really need a lot of explanation on that. Thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not bear false witness. Remember the Sabbath, keep it holy. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. You know, honor God, you know, honor thy God, the Lord thy God. I mean, we've got all of these things that are very clear, honor thy father and thy mother, okay? The problem is we've left all of that behind now. We no longer do the Ten Commandments. Now they're kind of like the 10 suggestions, you know? Like, well, if you want to do this, you can. If you don't want to do this, you can. But you can't call me a she or a he or an it. What we're doing is it's basically Common Core on steroids. We're making it so confusing for young children, Austin, that they're not going to have any idea who they are in Christ Jesus. They're not going to know who Yahweh or Yeshua is. They're not going to have any idea what the truth is or what the reality is. All they're going to understand is this politically correct indoctrination that's brainwashed them from the very onset of when they entered school. And they want to make sure now when they get them in these public schools, they get them dumbed down as quick as they can on immunization. They're not allowing any waivers in California any longer. And that's coming this way, too, guys. You think California is the only state that's going to do that? You're dreaming. The medical industrial complex, which is owned by the doggone Rothschild banking cartel, is going to push this same agenda in every single state, that you can no longer legally exempt your children from school and put them in a public school system. I'm telling you, it's coming to you. It's going to be happening in private schools. The only thing you'll be able to get away with initially right now are homeschools. And people, sooner or later, if this doesn't change, if we don't get this political correct stuff stopped, it's going to get worse and worse and worse until this country is just a remnant of what it used to be, and we no longer even recognize it, Austin. Here's another article. North Carolina is now firing ballistic missiles from submarines. Okay, this is a problem because if they do really have nuclear weapons and they have submarines that are capable of traversing the Pacific Ocean, which I'm assuming they do, if they equip these missiles with a nuclear warhead, now they're within range of us. This is from Sputnik News. I'm not sure how reliable the news source this is, but this test comes one day after the United States and South Korea launched joint military exercises on the peninsula. Pyongyang had warned against the drills, threatening to launch a preemptive nuclear strike. Here we go. The DPRK has test fired, that's the Democratic Republic of Korea, has test fired a number of ballistic missiles in recent months and has also conducted nuclear tests.
condemned by the international community, these results in the implementation of harsh new sanctions by the United Nations, which have been completely useless anyhow. They haven't worked to start with. Here's the problem with this. If this is true, I send a submarine. How many subs do I have? I don't know. You could send one to the East Coast, one to the West Coast of the United States. We can detonate a nuclear bomb at, 30, 40 miles up into the ionosphere. We set off a Compton effect or an EMP, electromagnetic pulse, and we can knock out the power lines, the power to the whole country, actually. So if they have that type of technology to do that, it could be a major problem with North Korea, because they're like a bunch of nuts over there, and they really are a rogue country. But I'll give them credit. I'm going to say this, and it may make some of the listeners mad, but at least they had enough sense to develop nuclear technology to prevent themselves from being invaded again. I mean, it's very difficult to invade a nuclear country without having massive, massive casualties. That's one of the reasons that Israel is still on the map with their hundreds of nuclear weapons, supposedly they have. They could pretty much turn most of the Middle East into a glass parking lot if they needed to or wanted to. So that's one of the main reasons there's been a massive deterrent against going against Israel. That's why continuing to give Israel $40, $50 billion in money for additional military buildup and to support their military doesn't make any sense to me when we've already supplied them with all of these nuclear weapons, which is a massive, massive deterrent for anybody wanting to go into Israel. Now, if we were running a huge surplus and we were giving away large amounts of money to different countries, I have no problem with that. But we're having to borrow the money from the Rothschild banking cartel to give to Israel when the Rothschild banking cartel basically owns Israel, and they own the fiat currency, and they can give them money from any of their central banks pretty much debt-free. Anywhere they want, they just print money and send it to them. Nobody would know any better, or send the digits and dashes on the computer and send them electronic funds. It's so easy for those guys to do it from their central banks that no one would even know that even happened, Austin. There's absolutely no reason for the United States to be giving foreign aid to any country in the world right now. We need to get our own house in order. We need to bring industrial jobs back into the United States. We need to build our own economy back. We need to get 100 million people back to work. We've got to stop the welfare state that we've started, and we've got to realize we can't keep going down this road of Cloward and Piven. We've got to call a halt to it. We've got to put a stop to it. And we've got to get these professors that are teaching this filthy, filthy stuff in the universities. We have to make sure that they're not being funded any longer by the CIA and the other groups like George Soros who want to destroy the United States. That all has to come to a stop. These organizations like MoveOn.org, they all have to be banned like Russia did with George Soros and not allowed in the continental United States or to be incorporated here or to be involved in our politics or our educational system, Austin. What do you think?
No, you're absolutely right. When they can deem stuff, like right-wing extremists or Tea Partyists or people that store food and ammo as potential terrorists, but then you have these groups that are literally involved in direct terror warfare like they're doing, just on a softer scale, and they don't say anything about it. It's completely okay. It just shows you what type of hypocrisy we're at. And as you're talking about giving away foreign aid, we're already at $590 billion in a deficit this year at the end of July. That is just at the end of July. So, yes, you're absolutely right. Giving away tens of billions of dollars all the time to all these other countries is not something that makes a whole lot of sense when we're pushing these levels of deficit in this country with money that we have to borrow. And back over to Germany, remember I talked about how now German government is telling its citizens now to stockpile food and water in the event of a catastrophe. The Czech government now is reportedly warning its population to prepare for the worst. I don't know what's going on. I don't know who got the memo over in Europe or if there's something planned, prepositioned, false flag or not. Something seems to be happening over in Europe because there's multiple countries now that are putting themselves in this position and saying this. The Czech media now is reporting that the country's food reserves are struggling and would be incapable of meeting demand in the event of some type of national crisis. Same thing that Germany said about a catastrophe. The government is calling on citizens to increase their self-sufficiency and food safety by stockpiling up food. And you remember last month, Czech President Milo Zeman also pushed for a change to the gun laws to make it easier for citizens to own firearms to defend themselves. As he had previously been against private gun ownership, he is now stating citizens should arm themselves. So I am very much support of defending yourself, having food, having water, having firearms, being self-sufficient, as they're asking people to do. But my question is, why now all of a sudden a change of heart? Are they pushing this so hard in the media? Are they trying to give everybody a warning? Are they actually legitimately trying to give people a heads up? Do they know something is happening? I don't know. I'm just checking the news, and I'm letting you guys know. But that's my thoughts on it. There's something going on. And, again, we should have never left the aspect of being self-sufficient with, you know, defensible weapons, food and water. That's something you should do on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis. I just had one of my friends yesterday want to come over after we worked out, and, you know, we didn't really want to go shoot at the range because we're trying to conserve ammo because it's gotten so expensive. So we practice basically, you know, forward-moving positions as far as different types of tactical maneuvers, but as far as dry firing. So you run your gear, you run plates, you run empty mags, but you practice, you know, basically movement, communication, reloads, you know, moving back and forward, doing different types of movements through buildings, outside, behind cover, and practicing on stuff you already know that you can really work on and do over and over and over again that makes it easier to do in the situation that happens, and you don't burn up any ammo. Because I've had a lot of people tell me that, like, man, I want to train more, I want to do this, but, you know, it's expensive. I'm trying to get some food stored up, I'm trying to have some extra vitamins, I'm trying to have my guns and ammo together. But, you know, when you go to the range and shoot 200 or 300 rounds training, it has a tendency to burn through your ammo stash pretty fast. So that's one thing that I always recommend doing with people. Practice your reloads at least. Just sit there and practice your AR reloads and work on them as quickly and as proficiently as you can, working on making sure you're keeping your head up, your weapon up, your reload smooth. Don't have to go super fast, but getting used to that mechanism of drawing the magazine from your belt holster, from your plate carrier, changing the mag, reloading, racking the bolt, using the safety, engaging again, and repeating over and over and over again. Those are really, really, really good self-sufficient skills you can do to keep your weapon proficiency up and ready without burning a single round of ammo, and it literally only takes you 30, 40, 50 minutes of training once a week, and you can really stay frosty that way for the next time when you train and you want to use ammo. You'll be even that much faster, I promise you.
That's right. Austin, I want to thank everybody for listening today. I've got to go. We love you guys. I appreciate you for listening. Thanks for supporting HealthMasters.com. Thanks for at least getting your multiple vitamins from us. You guys are the bomb. We love our audience. We love you guys. You guys are just the best. Thank you for listening to us, and thank you for supporting us again. We appreciate you. Austin, I'll go ahead and let you close, and I will talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye-bye.
Thank you, bud. You guys have a good one. In other news now, with SolarCity's merger with Tesla Technology, the company that has made the cars, this is pretty cool now. They will complete by the end of the year a start selling a new type of roof that isn't covered with a solar panel. Instead, it is a seamlessly integrated Tesla home battery storage technology, allowing homeowners to use solar power even at night. The idea will be to sell an entire roof with solar power capabilities built into it, rather than selling solar panels to be placed. What they are is they're basically solar panel shingles. And in a couple different areas, they'll have little small walkways that you can still access and walk through them. They're very resilient. They're very tough. They're supposed to be very strong. And a lot of the demos they've been doing are really cool. What they're going to be doing is marketing this more towards people that need to get new roofs, but also, too, want to start being off the grid, or not necessarily off the grid, just have your own power backup. It's a really great idea. I like it. I'm going to look into it once it's done. I'm sure it's not going to be cheap at first. So it's something we'll have to watch for a while and get the kinks out of it, but it's a really good idea, especially for people that live in sunny areas like, you know, out Texas, Arizona, Florida, that really can utilize this technology. Because as I said before, the sun is an amazing technology for power. You can have backup generators and stuff. I mean, everybody around here has solar panels. You can have them hooked up to battery generators with batteries. You can have them running water, you know, AC systems sometimes if your system's strong enough. All your refrigerators, your freezers, basic power systems, really cool technology, been around for a while. The sun's never gone anywhere, so it's always going to be there. So it's a pretty cool idea to look into if you're ever interested in doing something like that. Again, I'm sure the first stuff that when they do with these, there's probably going to be a lot of bugs to work out, and so I would never buy it the first round out, but I'll definitely look at it and see where it goes. Also, too, giving everybody a heads up now, most people don't realize a lot of insurance companies that have dental or you have dental insurance are not wanting to cover anything but mercury fillings. And this is something I've been told by multiple people now, and I've been seeing this more and more. Most people buy dental insurance believing their dental fillings are covered under their policies, but a lot of times buried in the fine print, these policies are restricted and limit the insurance access to non-mercury dentistry. One reason, many insurance policies only pay for the mercury fillings and molar teeth. If you want composite, you have to pay out of pocket. Other insurance policies do not pay for composite fillings and molar teeth, only cover them up to the cost of the mercury, then leave you to pay the distance. Other insurance policies will pay for the removal of old mercury fillings and replace them with composite fillings, even if your dentist believes this is the best treatment. Somebody said, well, they will not pay for it. I've asked a lot of people. A lot of people call me up and say, hey, I want to get my fillings removed. You know, I want to get the composite, the ceramic one. And I said, that's a great idea. Just make sure your dentist knows what they're doing so they don't lose a bunch of mercury in your system. But a lot of times they're not even covering that as well with the dentistry. So if you have dentist insurance, if you have dental insurance, you need to make sure you look at that before you buy it. If you already have it and you're already paying for it, it is what it is. But just make sure you know what you're getting. This is also interesting with Common Core that I've brought up numerous times now. The annual education poll shows that public support for Common Core has fallen to a record low. People are absolutely sick of this stuff, guys, and I've talked about it numerous times, and this is getting even funnier now. It's not funny, it's our children's education, but it's getting to the point again where it's like, where is this going? According to the survey, support for Common Core education has dropped down to barely 50% now this year, from 58% last year all the way to 83% in 2013. Republican support for it has dropped from 82% in 2013 to 39% this year. Among teachers, support for the program has dropped from 87% down to 44% since last year. Many politicians, as they've talked about, are saying Common Core is toxic and poisonous. The Common Core standards, and get this is the best part right here now, guys. Common Core standards were developed by three private organizations in D.C., the National Governors Association, the Council for Chief State School Officers, and the professional education company Achieve, Inc. All three organizations were privately funded by the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation, and none of these groups are accountable to parents, teachers, students, or taxpayers. How convoluted is that, guys, that we have an ideology, a curriculum of schooling that is being basically indoctrinated into our children now, and they are not accountable at all. The Bill Gates Foundation funded this garbage, and they're not accountable to the parents, to the teachers, to the schools, to the students, to the taxpayers, nowhere. You guys are going to love this one. There are no official information anywhere about who or how the writers were selected to write the Common Core standards, meaning there's no information to find out how they were selected and when they went to, how they were basically to get them. And they've also found that none of the writers of the math or English language arts standards have ever taught any math, any English, or any reading at the K through 12 level. Senior education fellow at APP Jane Robbins also explains the unaccountable people who created and imposed Common Core think they know best, so they assume that if they just got Common Core in place, parents might hate it at first, but then they might come around to it. What they didn't realize is that parents, even if they're not education experts, recognize this dumbed-down bunk when they see it, and that's not what they want in their children, she concludes. Maybe they should have asked the parents first. And this is something that's getting worse and worse and worse. The whole Common Core program is a total disaster. It doesn't teach any type of probable or reasonable thinking. It doesn't teach any type of basically cognitive reasoning skills. It's very, very watered-down garbage. And a lot of these kids coming out of these programs now can't even get in to college and pass the basic entrance exam. We've seen that now with Harrison over at PCC, and a lot of kids he's met and we've talked to and we've been over there, they're taking these entrance exams two and three and four times just to get in. And these kids are 17, 18 years old. They're not children. They're going into college now, and they can't get through anything because their high school years have spent with this Common Core now is completely and totally an abysmal failure. So that's just something to think about there. Also, too, a Texas school in Claude, Texas. This is great. They put a new sign out now giving criminals advanced advanced warning that the staff is armed and may use whatever force necessary to protect their students. The sign is positioned so that anyone entering the school has to pass it. An emblem is emblazed on the sign in big red print. Attention, please be aware that the staff at Claude ISD is armed and may use whatever force necessary to protect our students. Superintendent Jeff Burt indicated the safety of the children is the reason why the school decided to put up the sign and allow campus carry for their staff. He views armed teachers as a proactive way of handling school shootings, a way that may actually prevent such events from occurring. And I have to agree with him. Granted, anybody that is carrying a firearm concealed in a schoolroom and teaching has to have some type of very significant aggressive training to understand how to operate that firearm in a safe manner if the event they need to use it. But I love the idea of that, because if you have a couple teachers, male or female, doesn't matter to me, that are weapons proficient, and they want to, and the thing is, guys, they don't have to be carrying, you know, battle rattle rig. I mean, just carrying, you know, a Glock 19 or even a, you know, Glock 26, something small, something concealable, something comfortable, but something accurate to have in the classroom with them on their person at all times is really, really, really good deterrent. And then putting a sign up just goes to show you, listen, we're not going to be victimized. You want to come in here with a gun? You guys want to try and do some mass shooting? This is not the school to do so. So I really applaud them for doing that. I wish more schools would do it. Just a couple of these people in a schoolroom, in a school system that were armed, would be able to stop any of this from happening. But as we both know, as we all know, I say both because Dad's not here, this is not some type of just random shooting. Almost every one of these that occurs is always some type of set up false flag. A lot of people always consider Sandy Hook to be one of the worst school shootings, if that was even a real shooting, which I don't believe it was. These types of things are very, very, very well done as far as if you have a firearm. They work very well at deterring criminal behavior, especially anybody that wants to come in and commit some type of bodily harm. So everything, you know, you have to give it to the citizens. You have to allow the militia. You have to let the state come together and say, we're going to protect ourselves. We're going to support our family. We're going to support our kids. And we're going to do so. We're not going to rely on anybody else. That's the way it needs to be done. And the school out in Claude, Texas, completely has that idea down to a pack. So, guys, I appreciate everything. You guys have a wonderful night. Hopefully we'll get Dad on again tomorrow. It's been great with you. Email us or call us if you need anything at all. Healthmasters.com. You have a blessed night, and I'll be on again with you guys tomorrow.